Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death from Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron, and I am here with Tom and Dom on a wonderful Sunday morning as we approach the winter time now. We're getting close to the end of the first half of season two here of Jump Point, which is pretty exciting. So today's episode, guys, we're going to talk about yet another controversial topic. As we love to do here. We're going to talk about the hype cycle of Battletech, the hype cycle of gaming in general. So we're going to hit on some of these things today. But I want to start out with a little bit of patron Q&A, my favorite thing.
Say what?
So today's question comes in from Tin Bane, aka Adrian. He is an elite patron and a staunch supporter. So thank you, Adrian, for keeping the lights on here at DFA. And of course, thanks to all our wonderful patrons out there. So Tin Bane's question is this: what is Catalyst or Battletech not doing that would help it become a behemoth in the industry? So this is very relevant to our sort of our theme today. So Dom, why don't we start with you? Just quick reflection. What do you think Battletech is not doing that would help it become a behemoth in the industry?
I mean, look, and I don't want to cross-reference it too hard against other companies, because that wouldn't be fair, because those other companies have been, you know, longer established and have got much bigger premises, etc. But I think if you look at certain famous gaming companies, they do things in a slightly different way. And I think one thing we're probably going to get into today is on, like, cycles of releases, and how they kind of use that buzz to create more buzz, to then create more buzz, where you have this, like, just constant carousel, really, of, and, you know, several different products within the same universe. So, again, we'll have to reference them. So if you look at something like 40K, you've got, like, the Core 40K game. You've got Kill Team. You've got all the other, like, multitudes of, like, you know, the release, like, Blackstone Fortress. If I think in terms of how Catalyst could do that straight off the bat, and they are trying to do this because they have got different products, but do they want to kind of do a 28mm game? Because that obviously gives them a new line on products that that they can really get into. Or do they want to do, I mean, we get like counter games and card games and things like that, but do they want to kind of expand it out and really, really dig into it?
I like that. Yeah, I remember the old Battletech card game. I was a big fan of that. I know.
I know you were.
You know, there are some that are still very much avid collectors of that and players of that game. It was a good one. Tom, very quickly, what do you think Catalyst or Battletech is not doing that could help propel it to that legendary status in the industry?
And I'm sure people can fact check me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think they do a great job tying their different products together into a cohesive package. So I was at Barnes & Noble this weekend, and just as an easy example of this, their force packs, like the little boxes, it doesn't tell you what else you need to play the game. So they're on a random shelf because you can't trust Barnes & Noble to necessarily put it together. So some of them were in the board game section, and you just have this random package. And on the back of it, I read it because I was like, oh, does it actually tell people, like, oh, just pick up this rule set and you're off and running? It doesn't do that. So things like that, where they tie their packaging together, say, hey, this is for this rule set, which you can also buy at Barnes & Noble, which they do a good job of in those, like, the Clan Invasion box, the starter box. Like, that they figured out pretty well, I think. Yeah. So that aspect of it. And then even something like within the book being like, oh, this force pack, Snords or Regulars, you can read lore about them. You can read a narrative story about them in this book, you know, and tie, because there's so many books, it's really hard to navigate that. And then the last piece I would say, which Dom touched on, is where do all these products lie in a continuum or in a relation to each other? You mentioned sort of the 40K rubric of Kill Team and Necromunda and 40K and whatever, that 30K. If they were to lay out and actually solidify how gamers and fans are supposed to interact with these different products. Like Alpha Strike is here, and then there's this continuum over to classic BattleTech. So if you're looking for this, play this. Because right now it's almost like they're opposite products to each other rather than
competing.
Competing, exactly. And also how they tie out to lore and different things like that. Yeah. So if they did a little bit of that, I think they would drive it far forward and pick up more gamers.
Yeah, those are excellent points from both of you. Really, I think they're right on point. That's really good stuff. Interested to know what you guys think about it. Leave it in the comments. But let's move on to our Ready Room Roundtable. Get right into the meat and potatoes. So I want to pontificate for a moment. I want to reflect on this hype cycle topic. So I was talking with Chris, our editor, and our chief editing officer, and he and I were talking about we were looking at the YouTube analytics, and we were trending subscribers and views and all of these things, right? Just trying to keep tabs on things. You know, patrons coming, patrons going. And we are definitively in a lull. And the same pattern happened after the first Kickstarter. And it sort of spawned this whole thought, like, why is there this dead air right now? Dom and I were talking before we started filming. We went on battletech.com. The last news update was from July. Now we're filming this. Right now we're filming this maybe about a couple weeks before it'll actually drop. So maybe there will be new news by the time this comes out. But even still, that's an exorbitant period of blackout. And sure, you know, we get the Kickstarter update emails and things, but they're not hooking me. And I think back to, like, you know, when we weren't running the channel and we were playing a lot of games, like I would want to spend money on something cool. You know, I would want to go out and buy the new thing. And it, you know, in one of our prior episodes, we talked a lot about the GW rules cycle and how they're constantly deprecating old things and introducing new things. And
yeah.
And I like it, but really, is it almost like a drug? Is that like the right pattern to keep people hooked and engaged to drive the franchise forward? So that's sort of my reflection. So the first question is, you know, I'll start with you, Tom. Do you think that constant churn or that constant rule cycle, that constant release cycle is something that's important to drive engagement, even if it's perceived by some as kind of squeezing their wallet, right? What do you think about that?
Yeah. The first thought I had as soon as you started talking about this was, you know, I'm going to guitar lessons with my daughter right now. And something her teacher constantly reinforces with her is when you're moving between phrases, when you're learning guitar, you have a tendency to wait between the piece you know and the next, and then look and put it. And he says, an audience doesn't want to wait for that next note. You have to get in the habit of getting that note going so it continues the music. You don't want drops in the music, right?
What an analogy.
And, yeah, that's thank you.
A plus, brother.
I'm swooning. Yeah.
So that's really what I would chalk this up to. I don't necessarily want more hype cycle, more product releases, but they do. You're absolutely right. They tend to have this sort of up and down, and that's what they can. That's the model of how they handle their workload.
Dom, what do you think?
I mean, I'll play slight devil's advocate here. We've got to remember that CGL are a relatively small company. Obviously, we were talking about, you know, news release cycles prior to filming, and we go back to July. But when we think about that gap, that July, August, September gap, they've had like the massive Kickstarter. They'll have been inundated with people, and it's like asking them questions. So it's probably like all hands on deck for them just to kind of get the Kickstarter all sorted out. So I think we do have to bear that in mind when we discuss this. However, following on from Tom's stunning analogy of the guitar, that is a very, very salient point. Like, you know, you really do need to kind of capitalize on buzz, and you need your product to be like front and center in people's minds.
The dead air is potentially, I think, people lose interest. I think we you know, they drew in all of these people into BattleTech with the announcement of the Mercs Kickstarter, and people were amped. New players were getting into it. I mean, we see it in the comments. I mean, I see it firsthand. I see it in Discord. And then they just all kind of disappear because it's like, well, nothing's happening, right? I'm bored.
Well, not only that, but, you know, it allows a competitor to get their foot in the door.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And yeah, so, and then all of a sudden you're competing, you know, when you don't really have to.
That's right. But, that's right. If you don't have, you know, a nice dinner out with your wife every other week, Tom's going to move in on her.
Like a hawk.
I thought you were going to say you're getting divorced.
No shame. No shame. Yeah.
He'll be there right. With his guitar analogy, and yeah. That'll be it.
I mean, that's it. He's going to take them away, guys. So, last point here on Jump Point, and we're sort of dipping our toes in this already. Like, Dom, I'm going to start with you. Like, what kind of content should CGL be focused on producing aside from new plastic? So, just to give examples, right? Source books, TROs, even soundtracks, right? Like music, campaign guides, missions. Tom brought up digital apps, random allocation tables by, you know, by region, by year. Like, I don't know. What do you think would be big sellers that would be easy to produce?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and this is purely subjective, obviously, everyone's going to have a different opinion on this. I think for me, the buzz with BattlesTech starts from the big fiction book. And I'm not talking about like the, you know, the little short stories or the standalone books or anything like that. I'm talking about like your Stackpole Warrior trilogy-esque thing, mm-hmm. right? And if you look back at BattleTech's like history, and they were very lucky in the early days because Michael Stackpole is actually BattleTech aside, guy's a fantastic writer, writes for Star Wars, right? Like, obviously, you know, that stable of talent that they got, it is hit and miss. I mean, I think we've all read BattleTech books that are slightly derpy, but then, you know, the actual, you know, like the core trilogy books, of which there are obviously several of those, are fantastic usually, or at least certainly above the quality that you'd, you know, probably presume that you would get.
Yeah.
For me, I think that's where the Ilkhan era is slightly like up in the air a little bit. And I'm not saying that people are going to sit there and read it because we're obviously in 2023. We're not in 1989 anymore. But do audiobooks, right? I like to read, right? Most people I know listen via audiobook. So if you release that big trilogy, do the audiobook. And they've got like the Warrior trilogy on.
Do they not have audiobooks?
No, they do.
Or do they just not do a good job of?
Well, I've never. I mean, I do read the actual books, but I've seen them on like Audible. But for me, like, if you were going to do the definitive Ilkhan trilogy, right, and pick a writer to do that, so I mean, they've got several really good writers on the books at the moment.
That was going to be my
point. Ability to do it.
Yeah,
and if I can, if I can get it in every format.
If I can interrupt you because you make a great point. It reminds me of, there was a 40K series called The Beast Arises, and it was like 14 books. I don't know if you ever read it. And it was like 300 different authors, and it got so whacked. The other example is like the new Star Wars trilogy, 7, 8, and 9. It's like, we're going to randomize which like person is directing this thing. And it was awful. Yo, pick somebody to write the story and to
have a vision.
Please. Yeah. Yes, a vision. Yeah. Sorry, you triggered me. Continue.
No, that's you basically just, that is the point, really. It's give it to somebody that you trust, let them run with it, let them create it, and then back them up commercially. Make sure that is in the Barnes & Nobles and on Audible and everywhere else that you can get it, because that is your touchstone. That is the, you know, if they ever did a BattleTech TV show on the Ilkhan era, it's going to be on that. It's not going to be on a TRO or anything else. I also think that gets our imaginations going. I mean, I remember reading the Warrior trilogy as a kid and being like, this is incredible. Like, I just got it. The characters really resonated because Michael Stackpole's a very good character writer. Do that again and then work out from that. So do the TROs related to that. Do the, you know, all the other kind of collateral that comes off the back, plus the minutes. You know, that's where you can kind of get those new Ilkhan era sculpts in, that they kind of are dropping in now. And I'm sure they're thinking about stuff that I'm talking about here. It's just, you know, getting the, I think it's a confidence thing. I think it's if we put all our kind of energy behind this and then it's like a trilogy that kind of falls down a little bit, we're going to be stung because of that. mm-hmm. they need to trust in the new stable of riders, yeah. So just pull the trigger on it.
So Tom, real quick, what do you think? What kind of content should they be producing aside from new plastics?
Yeah, in terms of product, the one I would call out, and again, somebody correct me if they have it, but graphic novels. My daughter, myself,
they've got a graphic novel coming in the Kickstarter.
There you go.
So there is one on the horizon.
Need more.
That's a really popular format now, and especially with something like BattleTech, you're sort of scratching that itch of looking at robots while also reading a narrative. Mm-hmm. So if they were, you know, if they had a product line for graphic novels, and I see this now with youth novels, Wings of Fire is a good one. I think, you know, I don't know if your kids read that. They have a companion graphic novel set to go along with the novel. So younger kids can consume it. And also just some people really enjoy comic books. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. And then, you know, Dom, your point about like investing in an author, I would actually take the opposite note. I would say they need to look outside their normal thing and maybe like pay up for another Stackpole or somebody that's like an established author in the sci-fi space who they can extend, because then they're paying for that person's audience as well, who would otherwise maybe not read BattleTech. So you're expanding your bubble that way. But like you said, that's risky. But it could also establish an entire new sort of bubble of people.
All right. So boiling it up. So both of you guys are very sort of invested in the digital.
That was my last one.
Graphic novels, audiobooks, and then digital apps. I agree with digital apps. I think it's the way of the future.
I think one app. I think multiple is a bad idea. Yeah, go on.
All right. Well, anyway, that's going to wrap up our Ready Room Roundtable. We're going to move into our next section, which is a little bit more lighthearted. Trivia Tech, Tom, your favorite. So I prepared three here. And again, these come out of Sarna, which is a fantastic resource. They have this option for random page. I just kind of click random until I find something ridiculous, and then I create a Trivia Tech question for it. So I will give you the question and the multiple choice options, and you guys will lock in your answers. All right, the first Trivia Tech question: Willard Theodore Kangaroo Jack Puritan was A, an infamous captain in the Sarkinis Federation; B, a famous mech warrior known for his Phoenix Hawk jump maneuvers; a smuggler known to operate in the Draconis Combine; or a crime lord that gained influence in the Tamar Pack.
Can you put that name up on the screen?
I will bring it up over here. We're going to go to Sarna right now.
Kangaroo Jones was it?
All right. I will.
I'm already going to guess my guess. I think he was a smuggler. That's
you think
guess.
He was a smuggler?
Oh, I was going to say that, but I'll change it then.
Okay.
I'll go for the last one, the Tamar Pact.
Okay.
Oh.
In 3024, Willard Theodore Puritan, better known under the name of Kangaroo Jack, was a notorious smuggler and captain of the jump ship, the Stone Arrow.
You don't get a name like Kangaroo Jack without being a smuggler. You know, you got a pouch, right? You know, I get
it. It's true. All right.
Yeah. What's next?
That was going to be my logic.
The next Trivia Tech is McCorkle is a manufacturer of what kind of component? Actuators, gyroscopes, targeting computers, or lasers? McCorkle is a manufacturer of
what? Is it kettle corn popcorn? Because that name.
Kettle corn popcorn, Thomas, locked in.
I'm going to say lasers, D.
McCorkle.
I'm going to say targeting computers.
Okay.
It sounds like a laser. McCorkle.
Yeah. It's actually, that doesn't come up it comes up as a blood name, but it is in fact lasers is the correct answer. Laser is the correct answer.
You're two for two.
Yeah.
Killing it.
All right. This is my favorite. Our Lady Maria Auxiliadora Preparatory School is one of the following.
Sisters of Battle?
No. a school that secretly trains assassins, a mech warrior officer academy, an orphanage on outreach where GDL recruits mech warriors, or D, something I made up.
Dom, I'll let you take the first crack. I don't want to steal your thunder this time.
Orphanage on Outreach.
Is that okay? He thinks an orphanage on Outreach. So C. Tom, what do you think?
A.
If it's D,
you think a school that secretly trains assassins?
Yeah.
Let's find out, guys. It presents itself at first glance as one of the many finishing schools found in the Free Worlds League that specializes in teaching people social and academic skills. But in reality, it trains its students to be assassins. Very,
yes!
Very good,
Tom. Oh, my God. I feel validated.
Oh, my God. So thank you to Sarna.
Three for three.
For all of these.
Is there some kind of conspiracy here? Is this?
Yeah. What's your PayPal again, Aaron? I need to get
some all right. Well, speaking of which, guys, it's time for the one and only Render Blender. And we are going to be looking at the Mauler. All right, so
maximize my screen.
This was one on my wish list, and it comes in the Somerset Strikers pack, and I'm super super excited about this sculpt myself. Now I am going to bring this up full screen, Tom, so that you can blend the rend, as it were.
Rend the blend, dude. This is such a great design. When you look at it, it appears that the arms are connected to the missile pods, which is hilarious to me. You know, it's just funny. Like, they could like fall off in one piece and like crawl away. It'd be really funny. But no, this is like a really solid design. That repeating tri pattern that's on like the torso, the crotch, and the knees. It really makes it look like this almost like formidable armor. Like a shield, you know, like it could kind of crouch and form like a block, which is really cool. It looks super, it both looks really lethal and also like really tough to crack. So imagine that on the battlefield, like this thing would be terrifying. I also like the 90s era extended glass canopy, you know, like a really classic 90s car.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, none of that like 2000s little tiny pillbox window. That's great. It has a lower and an upper. It's great. Reminds me of the McLaren F1, you know, with that little side window. It's great. This is a probably top tier design. Let's see the back. Do we got a rump shot?
Thirst pick. There it is.
There we go. Thirst pick. Man, that is awesome. I will say that immediately makes me think of an air filter for an air conditioner.
Yeah, but I do still love brilliant. Those air vents look so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's a great. And look at the huge, it looks like a Hoka shoe. You see the heel, how flat and chunky it is?
Here?
Yeah, there. No, the actual foot part of it. Yeah, like that part. Like, look how wide that is. Again, imagine it like setting up to fire and just like that kind of digging into the mud, you know,
being really cool. It's like a great stability
for its AC2 barrage.
Yeah, I appreciate the Pokemon
AC2 barrage.
Yeah, do you think that that's a Pokemon Easter egg in its rear?
The Pokeball.
Yeah, or Hal. Could, could be Hal.
Could be.
Hello.
Could be Hal.
Hello, John.
I'm super amped about this myself. It reminds me of like I hear the music from the cartoon, and you see it like just like kind of like walking along the battlefield. Remember the cartoon? So good. But I love everything about
Zachary, it. Zachary Miles Hawkins. It's his mic, isn't it? In the cartoon.
That's right. Yes. That's the guy, Hawkins.
The absolute Chad, Mr. Hawkins.
So what is this coming in? Do you know? Is this in the box set? Or the Kickstarter?
Yeah, this is in the Somerset Strikers. It was one of the last add-ons. And I don't actually think we made the monetary goal for it, but they're just like, F it, and threw it in.
Yeah.
And made it an option. Yeah. But it comes with an Axeman, the Mauler, I want to say the Hatamoto Chi, and...
Dude, that is such a solid list.
And the Wolfhound. Yeah, I think that's
Wolfhound,
right.
Wolfhound,
yeah.
Solid, very, very solid cool. Box.
Yeah, it's neat. I'm really excited about it. I think I got a couple of
them. Glad
you
picked this one. This is a really good mech.
Yeah, I thought so too. So,
well, the Hatamoto Chi will be the like the Asian Japanese looking one because it's the
Hatamoto
from the Thug. So that's the one that was in the cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what would be really fun to do for Render Blender is have crowd submissions where people that have like 3D modeling tools like draw up either good or bad ones and submit them, and we can like just roast them. It'd be so funny.
Render roaster.
It's all like uneven and like not correct. It's so good. Yeah, the dark roast render blender.
The render roaster.
The render rotisserie.
It's got to happen.
It'd be so much fun.
Oh my god, so good.
Or even a hand drawn one, that'd be really fun too.
I love it. Maybe one day we will add that in, Tom. We'll see. But that wraps up this episode of Jump Point. This was episode 5 of season 2. Hope you guys have been enjoying this so far. Definitely leave your thoughts in the comments. You know, let us know about the hype cycle. Let us know if you fall victim to like sort of the plastic crack addiction, where like, you know, you constantly have to be buying something new and you want that, you know, that stream of new content to keep you engaged. Or let us know if, hey, you're BattleTech for life and that's the way it is. I mean, I'm very curious to hear what you guys think on that. Two closing thoughts. One, Ares Games and Minis, always on my mind. I actually just got some Fighting Piranha decals from Ares Games and Minis, so very nice. Excited about that. Derek's fantastic. Everything
you actually have one stuck on your cheek.
It's like stuck to my face. It's like every mech I kill, I put one on my. Oh dear, good God. So anyway, he's got everything you need for BattleTech: the novels, the dice, the books, everything. So definitely head on over to Ares Games and Minis. And we mentioned in the beginning, thanks to all of our patrons. For those of you that are not patrons, at the very least, please click like, subscribe, and as we mentioned, leave a comment. And if you do want to become a patron and support the channel, you can just follow the links below and support. So little as $1 a month, Tom. It's a bargain. It's a bargain.
I think I have $1 in my pocket right now.
In his pocket. For Dom, it's only like 75 quid or whatever the heck you say. I don't even know.
Pence? 35 pence.
35 pence. Sorry. Whatever.
Quid's a dollar, right?
Oh, it's a quid. Quid's a dollar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like a pound
is like a cent. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm not good with economics. All I know
galleons.
Yeah, we still use guineas.
Snip apart.
Three doubloons per month, and it'll get you top tier access. All right. Anyway, we're done being crazy, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Again, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and of course, always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a great Sunday.